Good afternoon. My name is Andre. I'm an addict.
Hey, Andre.
I always like to thank God for allowing me to be here instead of worrying about where they're going to be feeding for dinner this evening. Before I got to Knockouts and Diamonds, I spent a lot of time in places we worry about where they're going to be feeding for dinner. Fridays was fish day. Might get yourself an extra block of cake. Whoever controlled the television had all the power. Just for today, it's not like that. I want to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac region for even asking me to stand up here. Any one of you could be up here. Any one of you are qualified to get up here and share your experience, strength, and hope. Process. Recovery is a process, not an event. Hard lesson for me to learn, because I thought it was an event. And some days I still think it's an event. I don't know, I always think somebody owe me something. Especially when I do something right for a change. And I want credit. I remember I had 90 days clean. I had 90 days. I was living in a transition house. I'm from Washington, D.C., but I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I got to go home that Thanksgiving to eat dinner with the family, something I hadn't done in a mighty long time. I could go over to the house for Thanksgiving. I just couldn't stay through dinner. You know, I had to get out of there. I came to steal something anyway. Beg or borrow. Try to get drunk. But that's not enough for me. But anyway, I came over to the house, and this particular Thanksgiving, it was 15 years ago, actually. I've been here since May 7, 1996. And I want to tell you, I found it necessary to use a million times since I've been here. I hear people say, I've never found it necessary to use since they've been here. I didn't found it necessary to use a thousand times. I got this rug at the end of my bed every time I trip over it. God damn it, I feel like going to get two of them and a cane. But I went over to my parents' house and we were watching the game, and Dallas was kicking the Redskins' ass. And I got to hooping and hollering and making all this noise, and my father said, you might want to go somewhere else to eat dinner. And I mean, I was 90 days clean. But it's a process. It's not an event. He hurt my feelings. I left about it. I went back to my little transitional house, my little room with my little television, and watched the game all by myself. I found it necessary to use that day. But I didn't. I didn't understand that you can find it necessary to use and not use. I didn't understand that. It's all right to want to use. It's what you're going to do with the feeling. Yeah, it's all right to think what you're thinking, because they never locked me up for what I thought. It was always for something I did. And just for me, I always did it. Because I've been locked up with plenty of people who didn't do it. That wasn't my story. In fact, I had got away with some stuff, you know. And so the process began. God had sent me to this halfway house to straighten this guy out. He didn't know it. I didn't know it. But TVs have always fascinated me. In fact, I used to make a living at selling them. That's right, they didn't work. And I can remember being in Lawton in the TV room, 3 o'clock in the morning. I guess it was about 112 of us in the dormitory. Two of us was in the TV room watching TV. So the guy came, the officer came and said, it's count time, you need to go back to your bunk and count. And I told his dumb ass, if it's 112 of us in the dorm, and two of us are out here watching TV, it's got to be 110 back there asleep. And he told me you have to go back to your bunk to count. And I was educated by some guys in the penal system. You know, they taught me that once I was sentenced and committed, I was the property of the United States Attorney General, and that white shirts had no domain over me. So I told him, you need to get on out of here. And the next day they called me up to what we call control. I'd go figure why they call it control, but they called me up to control. And Captain Golden, I walked up to control in my pajamas. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I had on my robe from St. Elizabeth's Hospital that I had received 3 years earlier. 3 years earlier, I was in St. E's. I had been committed to St. E's. The judge told me either finish the program or go to jail. And some asshole in the program called me an asshole, and I chose to go to jail. So I walked up to Captain Golden's office, because if nothing changes, and nothing had changed. And I walked up to Captain Golden's office at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was very comfortable where I was, very comfortable. I had on my pajamas. I had on my St. Elizabeth robe. Captain Golden asked me, had I ever been to Texas? I told him I'm a Cowboy fan, but I had never been to Texas. He told me he could have me on a bus to Texas tomorrow. And I told him, I'm the property of the United States Attorney General. You can't do nothing to me. And that night, when the movement sheets came out, because every night a movement sheet would come out, and it would explain where you would be going, when you would be going, my name was not on it. And I knew that I had once again told the people that needed to be told what they needed to be told, because that's what I do. But the next night, it was bag and baggage. And so I rushed this story up to the halfway house where God sent me to straighten out the guy. Because when I got there, the guy said that at 10 o'clock, you have to go to your room and cut off the TV. There we go. Now, with 16 men in the halfway house with me, I could not understand for the life of me. Thank God for God. Thank God for your people. I understand now. But then I couldn't understand how 16 men would let one man control the television. Now, my sponsor told me, because I was 39 years old at the time, he told me that most 39-year-old men are trying to pay a mortgage. He said that most 39-year-old men are trying to negotiate a better credit card rate. He said that most 39-year-old men are trying to replace the roof on the house or plan for college educations. But at 39 years old, you trying to control a television that doesn't even belong to you. But as smart as I am, I just didn't know. I didn't know. And, you know, they asked me to leave the halfway house. And I had to return to Southeast Washington, D.C. And guys were standing on the corner when I got there, and they told me how good I looked, and if I needed something to holler at them. And I was going through this process. And I'd come outside every day, because I lived in one of those neighborhoods. This is the neighborhood I ended up in. And when my friends 12-stepped me, they came and picked me up. It was two of them. They came and picked me up. I was sitting on those steps with a half a cigarette behind my ear, a bump of beer in between my legs, and a gun right here. And I lived in one of them neighborhoods where you were waiting. I was waiting for somebody to come down the street who knew something, somebody who had something, somebody who was trying to do something or something. It was one of them days, you know. And these dudes came and picked me up, and they said, come on and go to a meeting. Sandbox friends came pick me up. I didn't really see the need in coming to one of these dumbass meetings. But I knew I was going to get $20 a piece from their ass. And this process continues because they told me something so significant. I don't know if anybody's like me, but a lot of stuff that I learned 15 years ago is just starting to make sense. Yeah, I guess that's why y'all told me to keep coming back. But they told me, they said, you can bring the beer, but leave the gun. They didn't chastise me. They didn't look down on me. They didn't belittle me. They said, come as you are. It's all right. You can bring that beer. And man, that was important to me. That beer was all I had until I could get something else. That was my second step. I didn't know nothing about a second step, but that was my second step, because I remember guys gave me $20. Right before they gave me the $20, I was thinking about killing myself. But when they gave me that $20, it gave me some hope. And when it gave me that hope, I bought me some dope. And that dope got me through that day. And the next day I got up and I went and got me some more dope. And the next day I went up and got me some more dope until, you know what, I ended up in here. Because somebody said, if you want to stop shooting dope, keep shooting dope. Somebody said, if you want to stop going to jail, you just keep on going to jail. You want to stop stealing, you just keep on stealing. Whatever you can't stop doing, you keep doing it, okay? And it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And I came, they brought me to one of these meetings, man. I ain't know it at the time, man. I was watching the clock. I was waiting for y'all to say, we can close in the usual manner. Because I needed to know where Porky and them was. I couldn't wait to get back around there and spend that $20 that they hadn't given me yet. Because I do a lot of projecting. I don't know about you, but, you know, I spend money I don't have, go places I can't get to, do things that are impossible, you know. And so I came to the dumbass meeting. An asshole was standing up front, just like I'm standing up here now. Talking all this crazy ass stuff. You never have to use again, even if you want to. Told me, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. All that stuff, man. I got through the whole meeting. It's the first thing I had completed since high school. And it was time to celebrate. This was an event. And I got back around the way with that $40. You can play big for about 30 minutes with $40. I couldn't buy a whole pack of cigarettes, but I did get me a couple of singles. I had my own pint of Wild Irish Rose wine. I had already shot my own bag of dope, and I had a little teeny rock up on the top of my little television that I had got from the Department of Corrections in Maryland years ago. Had never upgraded. It was the same little black and white television with the aluminum antenna. And I was telling the guys in the neighborhood they need to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, get their life together. But these guys, they kept coming to pick me up, but for the grace. I've heard people say, man, if you go back out, I ain't coming to look for you. I ain't coming to no old joint. I ain't coming to no crack house. I've heard people say it. I understand when you say it, but I'm so glad they came and got me. Because I ain't have sense enough to come in here on my own. Somebody said, Andre, if you done worked all these steps and you so grateful, what you so scared of? Because sometimes you're going to have to put your own recovery on the line to save somebody else. If you really believe in the 12-step process, you really believe in step 3, you're going to have to put your own ass on the line to save somebody else, like somebody put their ass on the line for you, Andre. That's what you're going to have to do. You think you're going to come in here and get all this and play safe? I hear people talking about, you know, they don't want a whole lot of confusion. They don't want a whole lot of drama. They just want a lot of peace and a lot of quiet. But let me tell you something. No more peace. No more quiet. Your phone going to ring. Your children going to call you. Shit going to happen that you ain't got no control over. Now you going to get busy. Let's see you get back into the community and help some people. Let's see you come out your comfort zone. I mean, if you really, Andre, believe in the 12-step process. Yeah. So you mean to tell me I got to be responsible too? I can't just recover? I can't just recover and be grateful? I can't just recover and shout out, but for the grace of God, I can't just recover and be comfortable in my new home and wear my watch and have this and have that and have the other and be sociably accepted and all this bullshit. No, Andre, you can't do that. No, you can't. So, they came and picked me up. Every day they got me into treatment. They usually carried the defects because they lied. Character defects can still be a good thing if they're used for the right reason. The program's full of paradoxes. Hey, you can't keep it till you give it away. But you can't give it away till you get it. But when you think you got it, you just lost it. Now figure that out. So you got to keep coming back so that you can understand all this stuff that you really don't understand, but you know that it worked. Because my problem still is this. I still don't even know that I don't even know. I'm still running around here trying to teach people something, trying to tell people something, trying to say it's time for you to do this and it's time for you to do that. And he ain't never going to get it and she ain't never going to get it. And they still acting like this and they still acting like that. I still got a lot to say about a lot of people and not doing all that much about myself. I'm just talking about me, though. So they got me into the program. They lied. Character defects. And I do what I do when I go to any institution. I talk about the food. Complain about the counselors. Jazz motherfuckers. And in this particular facility, they had women. So I passed notes to girls all day. I asked them, would they go with me, yes or no? You know. I mean, come on now. That's stop playing around. We're trying to get our lives together. Shit. You know, and I made it through. You know, I got through the 28 days. I was marking them off on the calendar with a big X and stuff. You know, I was jailing. And but I got through that. Y'all taught me a lot about endorphins and my brain and all this other stuff. And but I got through that. And you know, I got the sponsor. I love boxing. You know, I think boxing is the analogy of life. You know. I know that if you want to be a fighter, you have to come to the gym. You got to get a trainer. Certain things you cannot eat. You must run every day. You can't do what everybody else does. You got to be disciplined. You got to sacrifice. You got to hurt if you want to be a fighter. Now, they're all types of fighters. They got mediocre fighters. They got fast fighters. They come out there and they look good for the first two rounds, but they're not around in 10. They don't last. This program teaches me how to last. Endurance, consistency, integrity, compassion, empathy, forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. Whoa. I'm telling you, something led me here, and y'all led me back to this something. Now, I know y'all don't want to start talking about all that kind of stuff because, you know, this is not a religious program. Not a religious program. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Anybody here that know me? Anybody know me? Raise your hand. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love my sponsor. I love the literature. I love it all. Y'all hit. But you don't always hold me. You hit, but you don't always hold me. I need just something that holds. Yeah, I need just something that gave me Narcotics Anonymous. I need the author of it all. That's what I need. I don't know what you need, but I'm telling you what I need, because I know after this, that ain't it. I don't know if my 15 years clean time gonna get me into the spot I'm trying to get into, because I'm getting ready for the box. I don't know what you're getting ready for. I'm 54 now. I used to be 25. I was on the boxing team. I was cut up like a bag of dope. I wasn't never gonna die. I knew everything. Yeah, I know. Don't nobody want to hear all that crap. I got grandchildren now. Oh, that's different. Yeah, I got grandchildren now. They call me Papa. They light up like a Christmas tree when I come in a room. Every time they call me, I've been able to show up because of you people. Because of this program. I go up to the school. I go to the games. I get the bad news too. You know, the teacher told my grandson the other day, 10, keep your mouth shut. My man say, oh, he gonna get the last word, you know. Doing a little cursing now, you know. I'm scared to death. This world ain't nothing like it was when I grew up. Well, I wouldn't dare curse in front of your mother. My father said, 5 o'clock, bring your ass here to the dinner table for accountability. I want to know what you did today, who you was with. Do you have any homework? Let me see it. Did you do your chores? I'm going to go inspect it. Where you going now? What you doing now? Who you talking to now? What's that in your pocket? What you got on? Where did you get that? He want to know everything there is to know. And so now y'all done got me clean, and now I got a little bit of sense. And all this stuff that he put in me, it's like ragu. It's in there. And guess where it's coming out at now? Now I'm asking my grandson, what you do in school today? Where your homework? Let me see it. Where'd you get that? That's not your room. That's my room. I'm just letting you use it. Cut out that light. Shut that refrigerator. Who left this down here? Hang up that coat. I keep trying to tell him I'm not his friend. I'm his grandfather. I'm not going to be your friend, boy, because in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to be on you like white on rice, because I love you. And it's going to be many days you're not going to be happy with me, son. It's going to be many days you're not going to like me. But I'm doing this for your good, and I'm going to do it. I done found out, though, the only time he really listens to me is when he watches me. I try not to ask him to do nothing I don't do. And boy, that's hard. But it's working. One day at a time. And I don't know, he still might grow up to be a bank robber. I don't know. And I have no control over that. But what I do have control over is my participation. The process of Narcotics Anonymous. My first anniversary, I thought the temptations were going to be there. It's something I had always dreamt about, you know, doing something right. Just doing something right, you know. And it wasn't like that. It was quiet, but it was special, you know. And my mother, my mother is, you know, my mother is the reason I'm here. You know, my mother sacrificed everything. And still sacrifices everything, you know. How much? She's 75. She was working in my office the other day. She's, I'll never be able to do what she's done. But I tell you what I got her doing. I got her singing in the kitchen.
Say it again.
I got her singing in the kitchen. She don't have to send me money orders. No more sleeveless BBDs. She know where I am. She know what I'm doing. Process. Didn't happen all at once. Wasn't a lot of lights. It just happened. I just kept coming back and following you guys' suggestions. And life is real good just for today. So again, I want to thank you guys for letting me bore you. Hey, I never would have made it. I never would have made it. Without you. Thanks for letting me share.